Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
You can join us on Facebook. Just go to 991fmtalk.com and follow the link. Or you can go and search for Live and Local with John and Jay. It is Live and Local this morning.
John. I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs. Leah at Gear Hut says, "Thou shalt not pay retail." Gear Hut is a used outdoor gear store that specializes in hiking, camping, climbing, paddling, skiing, all outdoor activities. They find a new home for your slightly used gear. 97 Google reviews, each and every one 5-star.
5 stars.
Can you believe it? 97 reviews, every single one 5-star. It's Gear Hut for the win. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
You moved.
We moved. Yes. Real big moves. We moved 2 blocks. It was pretty epic. We were all walking
for bigger space, right?
Yes. Yep. So we're a little bit bigger. We're at 318 Broadway Boulevard now. So still in the Wells Avenue neighborhood.
That's by Vassar.
Yep. Yep. We're right behind Speedy Burrito, which has become dangerous.
The community keeps you well stocked.
Oh, yes.
With quality gear and apparel, it seems. So folks can either list at their price or have Gear Hut list it for you, and you can change the price if it's not to your liking. You sell their stuff. Your consignment money gives you 10% off the items. I mean, if your item sells, you get 10% with that money on items at Gear Hut. And Gear Hut is known for great sales on their already discounted items. So I've heard. So you live that kind of clothing. I mean, you and Rusty, you're into climbing and hiking and backpacking and skiing.
All the things. Yeah, it makes it easy to work when you do what you love and it's easy to talk about.
So if you're not there, you're on a mountain somewhere.
I mean, we have a toddler now, so life's changed a little bit. So we're more on maybe the river walk or a nice slow trail looking at bugs. But life has changed a little bit, maybe slightly less epic, but still getting outside.
So what's your favorite time of the year? I mean, do you like winter sports? Do you like summer sports? What's your favorite?
Fall. Okay. Yeah. Not too hot, not too cold. That whole
little
thing.
Mix and match of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and with the desert, it's so windy in spring. And it's right. Still a little soggy, like the mountains are still, you're like, can I hike? I can't quite ski. I'm into winter, but since having a kid, something changed in my brain in terms of like
right.
The speed check. I'm like, okay, how am I going to take care of you if I have a broken leg? So last season was definitely interesting in terms of my skiing experience.
So you're bringing up a little camper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's your favorite place to camp at? This is the pro here, folks.
Yeah, this is hard.
We recently
did a tour of all the Nevada state parks.
Oh, wow.
Recently it was in springtime, but yeah. We did a little tour, the Nevada state parks pass. You can pick it up. And if you visit, I think it's 14 of the parks and get stamps, you get a free Nevada state parks pass. And so we were on like a little mission to do that. And so we visited a bunch of the parks, and Cave Lake state park was really nice. And so that's out.
East.
On the eastern side.
Right.
And then we also did, what was the other one?
John, you might want to think about that for your road trip next week.
He's headed
out east.
Gotcha.
He's headed out east.
Yeah, we wrote up a whole little blog for Growing Up Reno Tahoe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
nice.
I have a couple of favorites.
There.
Sugar Pine Park, okay, that's California, by Tahoma. And Sugar Pine Park is a favorite because you can walk across the street there and you're there at the beach. Also, I like, have you tried the Washoe Lake camping?
We have not camped there.
It's intriguing,
isn't it? Those close to home ones are always hard because you're like, well, I could just go home.
Washoe Lake, right. Because you're like, I'm in this, you know, this camper. I could just go home. Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, Washoe Lake's campground, it's not as nice as, I like Davis Creek. Davis Creek, which is on the other side, which is right next to Bauer's Mansion. Because
you
get all those
Creek
pines.
Is beautiful.
And,
People are cringing. I mean, these are their favorites, and they're going, no, don't tell them about it.
Well, 775-884-9910 is our number. I encourage folks to call in and tell us what your favorite camping spots are. Maybe you have some secret ones you can let us in on.
Well, let's talk about the gear, though. I mean, it doesn't have to be new to be awesome. And I still believe that gear and clothing was made to last longer in the past. Am I wrong? I mean, this is why sometimes I go to a thrift shop, because that clothing lasts forever the way they used to make it. Have you seen how they make men's suits now?
The same clothes might
apart.
Not my area of expertise there.
Well, so is that why you thought a used outdoor gear shop would do so well? Because many folks believe in that back things were made so sturdy. Oh my gosh, I even buy Army surplus. That stuff lasts forever.
Yeah, it's a little mix of everything. I mean, it comes down to the brands that put passion into creating their items, which then cost a lot more. So they put a lot of product development into materials and sciences and their warranties and stuff like that. Whereas if you go to Walmart and gear up, yeah, you scored a $14 rain jacket, but you're going to need a $14 rain jacket five times in that year because the zipper is going to bust and the seams are going to break. Whereas if you spend the $200, which up front seems a little steep, you're going to get an item that lasts you forever, right, is backed by a warranty.
It's quality over quantity.
Yes, yes.
And people still swear by Patagonia. But the thing is, it's so expensive. That's where you come in. You have used Patagonia outfits and things, and you can't find them at the prices you offer them for.
Yep, yeah. And so that's one of the nice things is we kind of bring the access to those quality brands to the general normal folks who maybe aren't rolling in dough, but still want to get geared up appropriately for the elements.
I like it. And just so what you said, it kind of reminds me of my favorite saying, I'm balling on a budget.
Exactly.
And if you're balling on a budget, Gear Hut is the spot.
Yes. You should write all of our stuff.
Well, I get my good ideas from your sales guy.
Okay.
Just saying. He's got all the gear stuff. But, you know, so tell us what kind of gear can you get at Gear Hut? Now, you've been on with us before, but it was during the summer.
Yep.
So we talked about, like, you know, kayaks and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But now we're getting into the winter. What are some things that folks can get that aren't just the norm, you know, obviously skis and bindings and, you know, jackets and stuff? What are some other interesting items you guys have?
Totally. So because the shop is not a ginormous retail space, we do a seasonal swap. So summertime, like you said, all the beach wear, summer camping.
Right.
Come wintertime, we transition. One of the cool things that we do get a lot of is backcountry gear. So getting into cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, touring, all of those things, which we don't have a ton of access to cheaper options to get geared up for those. Or you also get some fun, like, vintage telemark setups and stuff for anyone who wants to free the knee this year. Yeah.
Wow.
The unwritten rule in this town is always check Gear Hut before you go to REI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll probably walk out with an armful of items from Gear Hut versus one handful of, not
right,
palmful of
no,
items.
This is what I've heard. That's the thing to do, the unwritten rule. Check Gear Hut before you go to REI.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, why? Listen, we already have a problem with people wasting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, why not get stuff that's reusable and it's good? I mean, it's not like you guys are getting stuff that's not quality. I mean, I'm sure you're very picky,
yes,
about what items you take. You know, you don't just take anything. So, you know, I'm sure whatever you're going to get there is going to be the quality you're going to find. They're going to inspect it. They're going to make sure it's not, you know, it's not disheveled or anything like that, you know, and then they're going to sell it. They're not just going to, you know, give you something that's going to break down and that's why you're paying less for it. So it's really just gently used items that they're reselling there that you're just going to go and pay an arm and leg for at a place like REI.
And so it's a really good option, too. If you are like, you know what? I see everybody going up to Chickadee Ridge and doing that snowshoeing thing. I want to go do that. But what if it turns out you don't like snowshoeing and you just spent brand new costs,
right,
to find out you don't like an activity?
Go.
Or like your friends are all like, you know what? Let's ski. And you're like, yeah, let's ski. And then you go and you get set up with a full setup and you spend it over $1,000. And then you're like, wow,
see?
I hate skiing. Your risk there. So it gives you a
but
chance.
But you can bring
snow
it to your place and consign it.
If you fail, you can always come to us and consign the mistake. But we'd rather have you sample the outdoors and have more access to trying things on that budget.
See, I've
better.
Also heard consign your stuff at Gear Hut before the TV show Hoarders contacts you. I've also heard that.
Yes, we've had
reuse and recycle.
See, yes. She talked about having snowshoes, and if you want to try something that's different but not spend a lot of money, that's a great option. And that's a better option than what I would have done. Honestly, Leah, if I wanted to try snowshoeing, I probably would have gone and got a couple old tennis rackets and some and some duct tape. And
we're always into that, too.
Whatever works. That's part of balling on a budget as well. But all right, so we're going to take a quick break, though. I want you to hang out with us. We're going to talk again next. You've got a brand new location. We're going to tell everybody about that and what you got going on there. So stick around. It's next right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, Radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3, FM Talk.
All right, it's Live and Local right here with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. I encourage you to find us on Facebook. You can also give us a call if you have anything you want to talk about or tell us about some great camping spots, 775-884-9910.
We have a star who's going to be showing up later, right, Jay?
Yes, absolutely. We just got word Johnny Munoz from the UFC is going to be in here with us in the 11
Johnny
o'clock
Munoz?
Hour.
Johnny Munoz?
Yes. So this is huge, man. And
they're
we're going to be giving away
at 11:30. If they come early, they can give Joe Hart a headlock.
Yeah, actually, that would be that would be kind of funny. Not only that, but we're going to be giving away some King of the Cage tickets. That's tonight at the Silver Legacy. So if you'd like to go see some MMA on us, make sure you tune in. UFC fighter Johnny Munoz is going to be on with us in the 11 o'clock hour with King of the Cage.
All right, we have Leah here from Gear Hut, which is by Wells. Outdoor gear. It's not a chain, is it?
Used to be on Wells.
We are one of a kind.
Off Wells. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's off Wells now because you got a brand new location. It's right behind Speedy Burrito,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So tell us all about this location. What's your address?
Yeah, we are at 318 Broadway Boulevard. So literally just a little.
I never knew we had a Broadway Boulevard.
I know.
Oh, that sounds classy.
We are. We're on a boulevard. Okay. We feel fancy.
You sell bikes. Somebody just messaged me, right?
Yeah. Yep. We do mountain bikes, gravel bikes. Bike packing is something that's been huge and upcoming in the outdoor community here. And so we've been turning over a lot of like little backpacking touring setups, carriers, all that jazz.
Is this like the fat tire bikes?
So it's backpacking where you carry everything you need on your back, except on your bike. And with Nevada having so many like gravel roads to explore and everything out there, a lot of people are getting out there and doing some touring.
Well, this is ski season. We just had Palisades or whatever they call it. They just opened yesterday, I believe.
Yep.
So we have like five or six ski resorts open. You sell ski stuff, right?
We sell ski stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Come and get it.
Oh, my
gosh. Pray for snow.
You're a skier yourself?
Yes. Yep. I ski.
What's your favorite place to ski?
Ooh, you're making me Diamond Peak. Diamond Peak.
You're a Diamond Peak girl.
I'm a Diamond Peak girl. Yeah. That crystal run, that blue from the top, I could do that all day.
You didn't know girls like diamonds, John? Come on. Anyways.
Oh, I just got it. Oh, right, that's funny,
right,
Jay.
Right. Anyway. Well, okay. So Leah, tell us, obviously, you've got an event coming up next week. We
yes.
want to talk about this because I'm going to be talking about it during the ski reports all week long.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us, it's on the 23rd, I believe?
Is 25th.
The
so
25th.
It's on Black Friday, but we're cutting back Black Friday. We're turning it green.
Oh, my God. And this is beautiful because I really got to tell you, every year this Black Friday thing gets more and more ridiculous for folks. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're actually shutting down for Black Friday instead of trying to open up at 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving Eve to beat everybody else.
What are you doing on that?
Yeah, tell us
so
about it.
So we're kind of going the anti-consumerism route. Realistically, if you're buying something on Black Friday, it's probably not good for the earth. It's going to be shipped to you, packaging, all that jazz. So we're kind of going with the whole opt-out side mindset, doing some good for the earth. And we are going to be shut down. We're doing a cleanup.
What? You're shut down on Black Friday?
Yeah. No. It's not worth it. We're doing good for the world.
Oh, you hippies.
No.
But 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. on Green Friday, we're turning it green for the environmental purposes.
I like green.
Yeah. We're going to be picking up the trash and garbage and everything that's in the streets. Basically, all of the drains in our street drains go straight to the Truckee River. So when you see that bottle, that paper towel, that mask, the whatever, the newspaper, when the snow falls, the plows hit, they push it, it gathers up in the street gutters, drains right to the river. So why not get it at its source in the streets, pick it all up? I think last year we gathered up 25 bags of trash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we team up with Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful for this. They provide all the supplies. They get you geared out in some fun yellow safety vests. We got trash pickers, the whole shebang. It's a good time.
Oh, wow. You know, we have quite a few. We've had the Lake Tahoe cleanup people. We got Green Vibes that comes in here as well.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of folks trying to do things to keep this community nice. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate you guys doing things like that because it really is needed, especially in Reno, man. We were just talking about how Sparks has seemed to clean up quite a bit lately. Reno has had quite of an issue with trash in the last year or so.
Yeah.
So let's, hey, more kudos to you guys. Hopefully folks can come out. Now, where do they meet you and start with all this if they want to do it?
Yeah, so it is at Gear Hut at 318 Broadway.
Okay.
The cleanup will run from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Show up for half an hour. Show up for 10 minutes. You don't have to be there for the whole time. Sierra Climbing Team, which is one of our featured nonprofits, they'll be on site with a little bake sale. So bring a couple dollars, help support them, buy some sweet treats. And it'll be a good time of getting outside with the family, doing something good on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Did you put this on your website for people to look at? Okay.
Yeah,
what's
we got
the website? Gear Hut something?
GearHutReno.com.
Right.
We're on Facebook, Instagram.
So do you have room in that shop for more consignment items?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes. Skis?
I see. I've never done consignment, but my mother did.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants a mother who does consignment. Oh, don't mess up the sleeve. We're going to take it to consignment when you can't fit into it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that stuff. I knew one kid in school had to go to school with this shirt that had the tag still on it, and it would itch his back like crazy. But his mother...
Then you can write new with tags on there.
Wanted the new tag on it for consignment later.
You kids grow up so fast.
She probably didn't allow him to cut that mattress tag off either, did
True
she?
True story.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, where I grew up in the hood, I had a lot of friends, their parents would leave the plastic on the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking. I mean, it's literally like, did you ever see the movie Boys in the Hood, John, with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
That and...
Did you, Leah?
I have not.
You know, okay, well, it's up in the wind. Either way, plastic on the furniture.
But I have experienced plastic furniture.
Yes.
Well, everybody loves Raymond. Marie's couch.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay, so there we go. It's like Marie's couch. All right. Well, Leah, one more time, because your brand new location is right behind Speedy Burrito on Wells. You've moved off of the actual storefront of Wells itself, and now you're on Broadway, which is right behind Speedy Burrito. So one more time, tell folks your website and your phone number before you get out of here.
Ooh, my phone number. GearHutReno.com.
Uh-huh.
Facebook and Instagram is the best place to follow us, kind of see what's in the shop. And we are at 318 Broadway Boulevard.
318 Broadway Boulevard. Okay, and that cleanup's next
Friday. Yep, okay. 11 to 1 p.m. at the shop. So
all
come
right
out, do some good, and clean up.
Awesome. All right, and you're going to hear them being talked about on the Ski Reports right here with Evans Broadcast and all of our sister stations as well as 99.1 coming up in the next few months. So make sure you listen for that. Go check out Gear Hut. We've got a lot more coming up. In fact, we have got Mama Celeste coming in the house, John.
Pizza talk.
I don't smell
pizza
yet, but maybe it's in here. I don't know. We'll see.
That's coming up after Fox News. This is Live and Local with John Potter and Jay Biggs at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk KKFT.
John Potter, Jay Biggs. Coming up later on, 11:30, we have News 4's Joe Hart, and we have a King of the Cage star after that. Jay, who is it again?
We have, I don't remember, Johnny Ortiz. That's
Johnny
right.
Ortiz,
Johnny
apparently
Ortiz.
A very big deal.
Yes, that's right.
But in the studio with us right now, Jim Flanagan, Mama Celeste's Gastropub and Pizzeria.
Hey, this guy's a big deal, too.
Has quite a story.
I love that you're having a cage match fighter on. We do the UFC and the mixed martial arts every month. We have the yearly subscription with UFC, and they're sellouts for us all the time. I mean, we have 70 seats sold for the thing. It's
oh, wow.
It's a blast because we pump up the sound and we lower the lights, and we've got you know, big 75-inch HD screens. It's great. It's a ton of fun.
Well, this guy that's going to be on later, he's been on your screen for sure. So
I don't doubt it. As a matter of fact, we had a legend in the house only two fights ago. Hoist Gracie was in town doing a seminar for his two jiu-jitsu studios, I give a shout-out to Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Studios.
Yeah, of course.
They're fantastic
Gary,
locally.
Gary Gracie, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was in town just by random circumstance, and we were putting on the Oliveira fight, and they called us up about an hour from the fight and said, do you have any seats available? And I'm like,
we'll make one.
We'll make some seats available. It was pandemonium in the room.
So you're the pizza place for the fights.
That's right. Like I'm it's a pizza place, but we love USC. Yeah, it's a great place.
Jim, is there a Mama Celeste?
Yes, Mama Celeste, my grandmother, Celeste Parenti. I grew up on the south side of the city of Chicago. That's where I come from. Like so many transplants from here, though, I escaped California. In kind of a crazy way,
well,
but that's a whole other side story. Mama Celeste, though, is my grandmother, and it's named in honor of her. I know a lot of places name in honor of their relatives, and she's passed, but the honor, it goes to her because her table was a place of happiness, you know, and she served food, and food made people happy, and that's kind of what I base everything on, is I try to make great food to make people happy.
Was Mama into the big fights on TV?
I actually remember watching the Pabst Blue Ribbon boxing matches at her house, but no, the UFC was not around then.
Well, you know, so Jim, I got to ask you this, because, I mean, just personally, when I hear the name Mama Celeste, the first thing you think of is those little small frozen dinners that come.
It's okay.
I'm just saying, let's break that stigma, because this is not a 99 cent Italian meal.
No.
This is the good stuff. This is real authentic, and it's cooked with grandma's recipes, or what?
It's definitely not the microwave version of the Mama Celeste in the gas station, right. I promise you. Not that that isn't a real person. It is, and she actually was from Chicago, Illinois, too.
Has she tried to contact you about?
No, okay. It's now corporately owned, and we have it spelled differently. But
okay.
I can name it again. It's a real person. It's a real family member. So it's not like I'm trying to do a trademark infringement. I
right.
definitely looked at that. But no, the recipes, they come from a mix of my family. Actually, the pizza recipe comes from my uncle Nick and his pizzeria. He's passed, but he gave it to his family, and his pizzeria is still in operation. It's on the south side of the city of Chicago called Rosangela's Pizzeria.
Oh,
it's an institution on the south side of the city of Chicago.
Now, do you do deep dish?
I do.
Okay.
But Chicago's known for something called tavern-style pizza, which is nothing more than our version of thin crust. And it's a crunchier version of thin crust where we cut it in squares.
Right, it's not round.
It's well, no, it is round, but we cut the round pizza in squares.
Oh.
We're not Detroit. See, not that I don't love Detroit. Lupo does great stuff. We
right.
love Lupo in here. They do amazing pizza.
I thought thin crust was the New York thing.
Well, it is, but what we don't have is we don't have the big, thick crust on the end. We take our toppings right to the edge, and our crust
it's like a pie
is like, yeah, and it's kind of like a cracker is kind of
well,
like
that's
what
you call it. Your pizza, some of it is so thin, you just say cracker crust.
That's we have three different
I
types.
Never heard which, cracker
I think,
crust.
Now you're making me hungry, Jim. I think me and Blake know where we're going right after this.
We are a true pizzeria. We have three different styles. We have deep dish, Chicago deep dish, you can get. We absolutely serve it. I will say west of the Mississippi, we're not doing too bad for deep dish pizza.
Do you have to order it 45 minutes prior?
You should, and if you are coming to dine in on it, be aware that it may take 45 minutes to get out to you.
Right.
It takes a full 25 minutes to bake. It takes up to 5 minutes to make, and if I have tickets in front of it, you know, we want some time
right.
to
Absolutely.
Make it. But our other two styles is our tavern style, thin crust, and then what people really come for a lot is they come for the show, and we put on a show there, which is the kitchen's an open kitchen, so you come to watch the pizzas being made. We have a wood-fired oven in basically the middle of the room for you to be able to watch the whole thing happen. So you get to watch your pizzas. Kids love it. They line up around the window,
yeah.
and they love watching watching the whole thing being made, and we load it up on toppings so people can see what we're doing.
Yeah, speaking of toppings, you have a pizza called the compost pile.
Compost heap.
Or heap, yes. Yes, pond coat. Yes.
What is all on that?
Okay.
I guess sounds everything. Good.
It's
the, vegetarian?
It's a vegetarian pizza for sure, which you can get anything.
It's compost.
Vegan
jam.
At our shop. Our dough is made with no animal products, which is important for vegan cooking.
Do you have a gluten-free?
We do.
There you go, it's right
a,
there.
It's a rice option, and it's excellent. But we also have vegan cheese, too. So if you were truly lactose intolerant or didn't want to eat any animal products, you can have that. And then going back to the compost heap, that was a vegan. My original shop in Chico, California, a little tiny one and 35 seats on this, you know, college side of town. I had this guy coming in every week and he said, I want every vegetable that you have in the store on the pizza and load it up with vegan cheese. Now, I was fascinated what it tasted like. All the vegetables, but I didn't want the vegan cheese. I personally am not a vegan cheese eater.
Right, me neither.
Tastes like Play to me. Sorry, guys.
Play-Doh.
Don't hate me. But I tried it with feta cheese on it, and I put a ton of mozzarella, and it is delicious. So people come in, and it's the garbage truck pizza in terms of vegetables, for sure.
You may have just got my new favorite pizza in town because, you know, I mean, I have a chain sometimes I order from, and I'll get the vegetarian pizza. And the way you just described it sounds about 10 billion times better. So I think that's going to be my new spot to go for that.
That's what's great about this town is there is so much great pizza in this town. I mean, I eat pizza all over this town, and there's really great pizza.
You don't just eat your own?
No. I mean, even when I'm traveling elsewhere, I'll always go for pizza somewhere. Yeah.
And you mentioned Pizzeria Lupo.
Yes.
So that's a favorite. It's rare we have somebody who is like owns a restaurant. Recommend another one.
I want to promote pizza always, you know, and if you're making great pizza in this town, I mean, I want to try it. And yeah, they make a Detroit style that you can't beat.
I have been told by a bunch of people that the Smiling with Hope pizza before they closed was the best in town.
I just saw those Facebook posts and I actually like teared up this morning looking at all of these things. And I guess the guy was a guitarist and he put a song to it and did this slideshow. It was really touching, actually. So yeah, that was
Moana Lakeside, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Their location was just not ideal, I don't think.
The food was great. Yeah. 7 years in business through a pandemic. And well, I got to give anybody that credit, you know. I mean,
location may not have been perfect, but boy, was it popular because I heard so many stories about, oh, they run out of the crust by 3 p.m. You better get the order in.
Yeah, they were doing a traditional New York style, which proofing that dough, basically, you know, you have a time limit on it. And if you don't use it, then you're not using that dough.
Now, we're going to talk about location. Now, let's tell the folks a little bit about your backstory. Your previous location was Paradise, California, correct?
Yeah, I guess I got off track. The origination of Mama Celeste was in Chico, California. We were there for 7 years, but I lived in Paradise the whole time. I bought my first home up there and did like everybody. A lot of Paradisians, we worked in Chico and went up and down the hill, and it's a gorgeous drive up Skyway.
Paradisians, I love that.
You know,
that's true. Well, you know, I got to tell you, like, I saw the, you know, the videos of the fires and stuff going on there and whatnot. That's such a sad story. I mean, were you there when all this happened?
Yes, and we did have our restaurant open. There's a tragic tale to it, and I can synopsize it super simple. 7 years in Chico. Found the perfect spot in Paradise, and I finally get to, you know, work from home more or less. I mean, I'm living in the same town.
Right.
It took about a year to remodel it. I did it with a couple of friends. We basically did an owner-operator remodel on it, and it took about a year to do it, and we made it look amazing. It was absolutely, absolutely gorgeous.
And it was what, the only pizza place?
No, there was a lot of great pizza in Paradise. Mountain
really?
Mike's was...
Oh, I thought it was a small town.
It was a small town, but they actually had quite a bit of pizza in the town. You had a Round Table, you had a Mountain Mike's, you had a Little Caesars.
Like Yerington and Mexican restaurants.
You know, it could be similar, yeah.
So tell us about that day.
So, yeah, it was tragic because... We had the restaurant only open for 4 months, and it was an absolute smash hit for the town of Paradise. We were across the street from City Hall, which was literally the entryway into the town of Paradise. So, you know, you had to drive past our restaurant to go back home from work. And we were just a great location. It was new. There's no question the economy was booming at that point in time. And it, right. we were just hitting our stride. And 4 months in, bam, fire comes through. And, yeah, that day was one that anybody that's gone through a serious tragedy in their life, you know, can appreciate, you know, something that just blindsides you. It doesn't have to be fire. I mean, well, it could be anything, but fire was that day, and it was a morning that you would never forget. You know,
it was very quick, right? Everything happened very quick. Was it quick for you?
Well, it actually happened in the space of the entire day. I mean, but the day seemed like it went by in an instant. When I woke up in the morning at 7 in the morning, I walked out of my door with a cup of coffee, and we saw this plume of smoke up back behind the house, but it was far enough away you didn't think much of it. And then you started standing still for a second, and you heard the tinkling through the forest of ash. Now, I've heard that before. I've seen that before, and there's a difference between ash and embers. Mm-hmm. And then you started noticing that the ash really was embers. And, you know, before you know it, this big piece of pine bark that's still smoldering, that's about an inch by inch, is right at the base of your foot. And you know this is going to be completely different. I mean, we lived in the forest.
And you knew it would be on the roof.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Did you lose your house as well?
I did lose my house,
yes. Oh, my
gosh.
I'm so sorry about
that. I lost
the
house and lost the business in the space of a morning. It was something that you don't expect to have happen to you in life. But I also know that I had something, and even though it was like this snapshot of 4 months that really was hitting its stride, and I'm like, I can do that again. I'm 49 now. So what are we? I was 44. I wasn't thinking that I'm giving up at 44 years old when this happened.
Have you thought about going back to?
Have you been? What's it look like now? Have you been back?
It is being rebuilt. My sister stayed. Actually, she rebuilt her home. She had 3 acres. She had goats, chickens, and a vegetable patch, and that's what she wanted back. But she also raised her sons there. They went to school there. I did not have family there, and I didn't grow up there as a kid. So I lived there for 12 years, but my attachment to it wasn't...
Kind of a shell of what it was.
Yeah, and I also was operating a restaurant that was a 100-person restaurant. Our patio sat 50 people on the outside, and the town was reduced to 7,000 people. It went from 8,000 people down to 7,000 people. So, yeah, it was not the same. Now, it has come back. I think they're just over 10,000 people now. But you asked a question a minute ago. I've only been, since the day of the fire, I've been back to Paradise twice. Three times, maybe, most. It's too painful, actually, to go back. I had to leave everything behind.
I get that.
I can only imagine.
And going back to operate again, it's not that I would never, I actually just, we had Steve Crowder, a city councilman, in not too long ago, and we have the ex-mayor of Paradise come and eat. We have so many people from Paradise that come to our shop, that ate at our shop, even for that brief time. But like everybody, you know, you kind of have moved on. And
Well, before you go, tell us why from Paradise to Sparks, Nevada.
Okay, well... The simple answer is I was either going to stay in California. I had an option to stay in Butte County because I had a liquor license there, but I didn't want to really stay in California. And that's the truth. I mean, California is an incredibly difficult state to operate in as a business owner.
Boy.
And this state is an incredible state as a business owner to operate in. It's night and day. And anybody that's in business that's moved their business from California to Nevada knows it. I am the biggest proponent of Nevada.
I've heard that. The attitude is we want to help you.
I have no desire. I'm not from California, and I have no desire to bring California here. I just want to bring good pizza and you know, good beer.
These are the Californians we want.
That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do, just bring good pizza and good beer.
You know what, though? Most of the time, I will tell you, you know, Jim, I meet a lot of folks that come over here from California, and most of them are kind of like-minded like you. They're not coming here to try to change the state into California. They're trying to escape the BS that's going on in California.
We're escaping, I can assure you that. I loved living in Paradise, the town of Paradise, and that was a community that I wanted to live in.
Rural California is totally different.
It is, and just doing business in the state is a lot tougher. This is a great state to do business in. I mean, so much so that I never in a million years thought that I would want to open up a second shop while I had the first one going in California.
Right.
Here I would want to open up a second shop. But I mean, that's how positive I am about the business climate in this market and in this state in general.
Well, as long as the economy ticks up, that would be nice. But we'll see. There's a lot
of economy's
going to
do
right
what
now.
The economy's going to do.
Is there Bidenflation on cheese?
I just don't try to pay attention to that stuff, guys. I really just try to make good food and that's what I'm trying to do.
And Jay's going to see you because he lost his beloved Long John Silver's.
I think I just drove past that. I'm bummed too because I do love the fish there.
Well, you know, it's those hush puppies. Dang it.
Who's
gonna make
dangerous.
Our hush puppies anymore?
I know, right?
Well, they're dangerous to your waistline, hush puppies.
Oh yeah, you're right about that, and we'll stay hush about it. But until then, so Jim, what's your address? If folks want to go and check you guys out.
Yeah, it's super easy to find if you're driving up Paradise. If you're driving up, you guys got me talking about Paradise. That's okay. If you're driving up Pyramid, you get off at Los Altos, and we're basically at Los Altos and Galleria. You see the Sonic. We're across the street from the Sonic.
Oh, from the Sonic. Okay.
Yeah, and we're in the Sola Salons building. We share the end of the building with Sola Salons. And, I mean, it's a little bit difficult to explain it now, but when you come for the spring and summer, we have this nice roll-out garage door that you can come and enjoy the kind of indoor-outdoor. We put heaters out there this winter, so, it's
sounds
a non-windy
like a good
night. We hope to be able to let people, you know, hang out and wait for tables because we're pretty busy, so... We turn them, though.
Could be a good date night. You know, guys, you take your lady. She can go to the salon. You can go over there, hang out with your buddies, drink some beer, and watch some games.
I'm glad you said that. I think we kind of run the gambit. You can have a date night. You can have, you know, the buds night out. And you can come and pop in and pop out, even if you're by yourself. I mean, we have a 20-person bar that sits in the round. And it really makes it easy for people that are on the go. You can come in, grab a quick meal, and get out of there and get back to work.
So, Jim, your favorite pizza styles, you mentioned Chicago, you mentioned tavern style. What do you make or what do you think of the Detroit and New York style, and what's the difference there?
Well, I love Detroit because I'm a Midwesterner, and Detroit is near and dear to my heart. But New York has always called Chicago the second city and not a term of endearment. So I won't say that New York's my favorite, but I will say the flavors of New York are amazing. When you do it coal style on a coal, you know, coal oven, it really does come out quite nice. But that's not what we do. We do wood-fired, and honestly, you're going to find the closest to New York is off of our wood-fired pizza oven, but it's still not New York. I'm sorry.
We don't figure out what the difference is. Chicago, New York, Detroit.
I mean, we came up with the deep dish, essentially, is what we did. And New York really invented the pizza in terms of coming to America. You know, when the Italian immigrants came to the United States, they were met with the GIs that came back from World War II who had been eating all this food, and they wanted to bring it here too. And so this combination of, you know, relatives coming here and Americans loving the food in Italy after the war culminated in pizza being brought to New York. And then it came to Chicago not too long later.
All right, my friend, it's a honor to meet you. And
yes.
I heard so much about your place from so many people.
I really appreciate you guys having me in. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you said it earlier. It was a complete mistake about where you were in Paradise. But you know what? It is a small piece of Paradise in Sparks. I really, truly believe that.
I appreciate
it. We're picking up slogans.
Can I bring some pizza to the show one of these days for you guys?
I would love that.
I have no problem doing that.
In fact, maybe we'll come for lunch after something like that. Anyways. All right. Well, definitely, folks, go and check out Mama Celeste Pizza in Sparks. Jim Flanagan with them. Thank you for joining us. And we are going to be back right here. We have got Ask Joe. Joe Hart, Channel 4. He's going to be in with us next right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk. 99.1.
It's 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. We have a podcast for Live and Local with John and Jay that you can go and click the podcast tab at 991fmtalk.com. And you can listen to any of these episodes and any back retro episodes as well. Hours 1, 2, and 3 are usually up within an hour of the end of each episode.
Oh my gosh, Jose Feliciano is performing in concert tonight at Bally's, the former Mount Blue in State Line tonight. Jose Feliciano.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I'm the old guy. I didn't know, to be honest with you. I'm very happy to hear this. I didn't know Jose was still around.
So you're a fan of Light My Fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Dun,
okay.
Dun, 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 dun. He's still alive and doing concerts. God bless him. You know, Jerry Lee Lewis died just 2 weeks after he was scheduled to play the Sparks Nugget this year.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember
I saw Jay Leno has a show scheduled at the GSR.
I bet you he'll do it. I bet you he'll do it.
Really?
That's just like Jay, even though he had that burn episode. Anyway, yeah. We're going to be back after Fox News with Joe Hart from News 4. So we're going to ask Joe.
Yeah, hey, there you go. No puns intended. All right, folks, it's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.